The OTB Podcast Network. With Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Let's turn our attention to football, and Daniel Harris is with us. Daniel, what happened? What happened to Manchester United yesterday?
They all played badly at the same time, I guess, which happens. I think when we spoke last week, I said that having spent 2 decades and more watching title-winning teams, I feel like I've got a decent idea of what one looks like, and it doesn't quite look like what this team looks like yet. But they have a possibility of winning the title because no one else has really looked that way either. And I think particularly when Europe starts again, like it could be, I have no idea what's going to happen because there are so many games and everyone's exhausted already. But United, I've had a look and I think they haven't won a game by more than one goal in 11. So for everything to catch up with them was not something that was entirely surprising, even if it was surprising that it came in that particular game against that particular opponent.
Yeah, was there anything that they could have done? Was there a difference in team selection, or does this happen when a squad is in this evolutionary phase where they're not battle hardened yet, then they're not a team of title winners collectively? They haven't been through this, they can't work their way through games like this.
You never quite know. I mean, I thought that Ole, the team that Ole picked was okay because it wasn't the first team, but there's been a lot of games. They've got to play Arsenal away at the weekend. I guess we'll come to that shortly. Arsenal are playing really well, so you need to rest some players. I felt that when things weren't working, he didn't make the right changes. My problem might have hooked Matic at half-time because I thought that they needed the speed to the game that either McTominay or Fred can bring, because Fred can run with the ball, looks to pass through the lines, looks to pass forward quickly, and McTominay also can carry the ball. And I thought that was a change he could have made early. And the other change is that he seems to be set in a rut of Greenwood gets taken off after about an hour all the time, however he's playing and however everyone else is playing. And he was looking a lot more likely to do something about the situation than Martial, who gave a phenomenally indolent performance, even by his phenomenal standards of phenomenal indolence.
He seems to be, I guess, garnering a lot of attention, a lot of negative attention this morning. Like the real dilemma is when to use Cavani's minutes, and I guess it's not going to be enough to mount a full title challenge this season, Daniel, and maybe that is the number one question that needs to be asked in the transfer window at the end of this season.
I was surprised Cavani didn't start yesterday because I thought United would want to get the game won. I mean, if I was going to rest anyone actually yesterday, I'd probably have rested Pogba, who's done a lot of running recently and will be needed to do something good against Arsenal. Although, looking at the team that was picked, perhaps it will be Fred McTominay and Bruno and not Pogba, I don't know. But the thing that you can't keep relying on Cavani, but he should be fit enough because he's not played that much. He's not played that much over the last kind of year or so, and he looks in incredible shape. So I think that there is a need for a better centre-forward than Martial, that's for sure. The question is whether you buy another centre-forward to go in front of Greenwood. If you can get Erling Haaland, then obviously you do that because he's going to be the best. But otherwise, you might be hoping that you get another year out of Cavani after this one. And at that point, Greenwood is ready. And if I was looking at places to strengthen, I think it would all depend on that. That if I could get Haaland, then I would make that a priority. But otherwise, United need a controlling midfield player most of all, I think, more than anything. They need that. They need a centre-back more than they need another centre-forward probably as well. And they haven't had a right winger in years. And when you see games like the game last night, only being able to play from one side of the pitch most of the time is a problem. And I don't know. I mean, that was why they wanted to buy Jadon Sancho. Now they've bought Amad Diallo. And I don't know if he's meant to mean that there's no need for Sancho. Ole's hinted, not hinted, he's said that he thinks he'll be ready for the squad soon. So perhaps that will be an end to Jadon Sancho. And he thinks he's now found the solution to that position. I don't know, but you see it in certain games when United don't have enough on the right-hand side. And in general this season, pretty much every home game has been a fight. They were at Leipzig. They played really well in that game. They played really well against Villa and they played really well against Leeds. But I'm not sure that they've won a home game by more than one goal apart from those. And even Villa, they only won by one goal and was struggling in the end. But the football they played was good.
So if it's not a title-winning team, what is? Where are they? What's the truth? Like, and how much progress have they made this season from last season?
They've made loads of progress. I didn't say they couldn't win the title. I think if City burn everyone off and go on a run where they win another 10 games from here in a row, then United aren't good enough to match that yet. But City's games, like City got Burnley at the weekend, and Burnley are in good form, and then their games start to get difficult. They got Liverpool the game after that, and the price that they pay for the run that they've had now, basically hauling themselves back into the title race and putting them at the front, is that they've now got some difficult games and they've got Europe starting again. They've got to play two legs against Gladbach, and then who knows what's going to happen after that. So I wouldn't say United don't look like a title-winning team. They're not as good as title-winning teams I've seen before, but that isn't necessarily a bar to winning the title. So in terms of where United were, like, they've made good progress from last season. They finished last season with 10 wins and 4 draws, I think, something like that. And you could see that they're improving. Then they didn't have a pre-season. They had a lot of players that played through the summer, so it took them time to get going. But once they did get going, they've produced another run of similar quality. But they need to find a way of making games easy for them, because it doesn't always work like this, as we saw with Liverpool last season. But in the main, if you find yourself getting stuck in tight game after tight game after tight game, eventually you stop winning them. And we saw it with Liverpool in 08-09. We saw it with Arsenal in 06-07 and 07-08, I think, where they kept winning games by one goal. They kept having to come from behind. And eventually, football is a chaotic game. So eventually, it's not simply about who's the better team. If you look at most sports, I would say of all the teams, you have, in any contest, you expect the better team to win, but there are certain contests that give more chances to the second favourite than other sports. And I think that football is one of those sports where you see more surprises than, say, in rugby, that's quite a physical game. And that those things are finite. Whereas in football, points or goals are rare, and it's a very chaotic, quick game, which gives the opportunity for teams who are second favourites to win more often than you'd expect. So if you keep getting caught in tight games against teams that have players that can hurt you, and if you yourselves are profligate in attack and not always solid at the back, then don't be surprised when you see games like the game you saw last night, which isn't to say United shouldn't have done better. Of course they should have done better. And the fact they lost to Sheffield United wasn't simply the chaotic randomness of football. But it was very 80s United, where beat Liverpool one week and lose to the team at the bottom the next week. And that is a sign of a team that isn't there yet, but has good players and is quite a good team. But the question for Ole will be, what does he do to take the next step? And part of it is what Wenger used to describe as internal solutions. It's the players that you've got improving, and we're seeing the players that he's got improving. But they do still need a couple of additions to be a team that you would say, I think this team are going to win the league. Not given a fair win and given some damage befalling other clubs, then this team could win the league, which is where I think they are now.
Yeah, I think you're talking about pre-season. We look at all the squads and go, yeah, that's a title-winning squad. That they're not quite at that point yet. They probably need a few more players. And one other thing it seems that they might need is more Bruno Fernandes characters in each line of the team. Like, the defending for the second goal last night was kind of
spectacular.
It was so bizarre. It looked like everybody knew what was going to happen, and they were essentially like passing the ball almost into their own net. It was robotic, but in slow motion, and like they were all wading through treacle. Not the type of defence or the aggression that we would expect from a team who has been on the front foot recently and who has a little bit of confidence.
Their defending's been a lot better recently. I think that I'm going to offer some slight mitigation before I wade into them, and that is that playing a lot of games one after the other, And you've got Maguire particularly, De Gea has played almost all of them, Wan-Bissaka has played almost all of them. Tellez, on the other hand, has hardly played at all, and Tuanzebe has hardly played at all. And when you play a lot of games one after the other, and especially when they're tight games, then physically and mentally, that is a toll. Which isn't to excuse the defending that we saw that was hilarious and appalling, but That's the thing with this team. They have defended better recently, but they're not solid enough at the back. And to fight your way back into a game without really having earned it, like you get a goal from a set play at a point when you're not looking particularly dangerous, at a time when you would expect to be looking extremely dangerous in the game, is a massive boon. So to then go and make the mess of it that they did is a tremendous oversight. And I mean, we hadn't seen defending like that in quite some time since the Başakşehir here game. And that was, sounds like that was when we weren't in lockdown. That was about 3 decades ago, I think. But so it's been a while since they defended quite as badly as that. But I mean, you shouldn't, I don't think anyone was silly enough to think that this kind of behaviour wasn't in their locker. And the thing ultimately with Solskjaer, and I've been saying it a lot, is that there are players who we know are going to keep letting him down. And De Gea has been good recently, but for him to flap at a set play like he did for the first one, I mean, I think it was a foul. I think the Maguire one probably wasn't a foul, but I see both sides of those. So, and to be on the wrong side of both of those calls is unfortunate. But you need to play well enough to take those calls out of the equation. And De Gea had a bad game last night. And someone on Twitter posted a clip of the second goal and his clearance in the midst of that second goal, saying something like, when you force an emo to play football. And it was exactly that. We've all seen it at school, like the kids that don't like playing, that don't want to play, and you're like, I'm afraid you've got to play here. And you see that. And this defence have a tremendous line in consecutive errors where they concede goals and you think, well, whose fault was that? And then you need to start writing down the names because there are so many of them. It's like I went to market and it was De Gea and it was Maguire and it was Lindelof and it was Wan-Bissaka and it was Telles and it was Martial. And that was what we saw. And it's happening a lot less, but you can improve players, and players can make themselves better. But that doesn't mean they're necessarily going to change their characters. And De Gea has been better, but yeah, I mean, he had a terrible night yesterday. And who knows how different it would have been with Dean Henderson. But I said this weeks and weeks and weeks ago that at least with Dean Henderson, we don't know. Whereas with De Gea, we do know. And United now have a really difficult game at the weekend against Arsenal, who I think are playing with confidence now. And I also think they're quite a bad style matchup for United because they're pressed from the front. United have got better at handling that recently.
Yeah.
But it's still difficult.
Let me ask you about, because I'm almost out of time. I've got like 2 minutes left here. So I specifically want to ask about De Gea and Pogba, two assets that Manchester United had on their books that everybody thought, the contract in particular for De Gea was too onerous. There's no way they'd be able to get any money back for him. And with Pogba, he looked so disaffected that the value had depressed. That was, I don't know, at the start of the season. Now, all of a sudden, both of them, notwithstanding what happened last night with De Gea, have re-established their value, and yet they don't feel like central pillars around which you're going to build a team that competes season in, season out. Should they cash in on both of those this summer and use that money to reinvest in a bunch of players?
I don't think you get very much money for De Gea, and the money you get for Pogba in this market with 1 year left will probably allow you to buy a replacement if you think that Van de Beek isn't the guy. Where you find a player as good as Paul Pogba is obviously, that's a problem, but that's hard to do. But if Pogba wants to leave, then United should let him go. He didn't play well last night, but he has been really good recently.
Would you keep him though, Daniel? That's the question. If he wants to stay.
If it was up to me, would I keep him? No, I'd sell him and I'd try and find a better replacement.
So I think
we'll always be having these conversations about Pogba while he's playing at the moment.
Well, that's the thing. So we had it, I'd say, 2 months ago, and everybody at that stage was like, the Man United fans would drive him to the airport, particularly after his agent before the European game. However, the form has been good, and it's got to the point where you can see Paris Saint-Germain deciding, yeah, we'll have a little bit of that. Like, why not put him? We've got one more season left with Kylian Mbappe. Let's put them together. And there's suddenly a buyer and it makes sense. You can see how in the summer it makes sense. But Pogba might say he wants to stay. And if I'm Manchester United, I'm like, yeah, great, you want to stay, sell him. Take the money and run.
I think we've seen that with Paul Pogba over years. Like, he's produced a decent, consistent run of form, but he's not going to change who he is. And I don't think that what United need from him and what he is able to deliver exactly match. Whereas going to PSG, I feel like might be a better match for him. But United would be in a problem without having had Pogba these last few weeks. I think that is fair to say. But I think that we're probably going to always be having the same conversations about Paul Pogba for as long as he stays at United, and that's not good enough.
No, fair enough. Daniel, good stuff. Thanks a million.
All right, see you again.
Daniel Harris giving us some immediate reaction to Manchester United's defeat last night. We'd love to hear from you. Plenty of comments coming in by WhatsApp, 0879 180 180. Owen says there's a massive overreaction when Manchester United lose games, but don't you think there's a massive overreaction when they win a few games? I think, Tony, we just wanted a title race. Is that right, Owen?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. We definitely got blinded by the prospect of a title race because, like, last season, the way Liverpool ran away from us and the way there was a big old pandemic in the middle of it to just elongate that season where Liverpool ran away with us. We're thirsty for something competitive. That's all we want. And this just has all the hallmarks of something that might lose its competitive edge very quickly because we just know how good Manchester City are. And we also kind of know how good Manchester United are in certain positions and how good some of those players have been this season. That I'm not sure, were we totally getting carried away saying that they could last the trip?
Let's wait
season?
And see. If they beat Arsenal at the weekend, they're back in it. I'm not throwing them out just yet. Michael on YouTube says, not United's first team. Only three players last night weren't regular starters. Yeah, but Matic was playing. And as Wayne Ryan says in response to that, once Matic starts, it all slows down. It's not your first team if Matic is playing. Kira Donnelly says, fitness and rotation is the key now in the title race. Isn't Martial the new Henry, asks Neil. I believe that's called shitposting by the kids these days. Kevin Kane on WhatsApp says, ah, lads, very frustrating result. De Gea has finished at United. Maguire's defending was brutal. Telles and Matic too slow. Wan-Bissaka is awful. Bruno's been poor the last three, 4 games. Rashford, Martial and Greenwood were awful, but their attitudes were the worst I ever saw. Title gone. Need Haaland or Kane in the summer. There's nothing like a massive overreaction. They're all a bunch of chumps. Come on, Kevin. Fair play to you.
The Matic thing is interesting. So he's played, I think, 12 of their Premier League games so far this season. That number really can't afford to get that high if you want to challenge for a Premier League title. Like, just looking at Liverpool's squad last year, in and around that same number was Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain, who ended up starting 17 games come the end of the season for Liverpool. What he gives in terms of the dynamic running and stuff compared to Matic is a hell of a difference. And it's those sort of players, the players who you're going to get 15 to 20 games out of per season, that quality probably needs to up.
That's the title winning squad.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein powered chicken bites.